Doesn't that computer know who you
are? Don't they have any idea?
Bow down to the Tech Talk host.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
Behold the glory that is
a little while ago, I was installing some software, and I ran across this exact same
thing. I find you pompous, judgmental, and completely self-absorbed. Would you be my
onto a Windows Vista machine.
You would think.
You'd think there'd be no problem.
How could there be a problem with that problem?
I'd say in a given week, I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
Directory permissions with config.msi directory, blah, 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 blah. This is Tech Talk.
Check. Hey!
Tech Talk.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Tech Talk. I'm Dave Sparky Saganaki. That's Michael Tech Talk Castle, the star of the show. I'm an occasional visitor. I'm an occasional unwelcome visitor.
I get star billing now. That's pretty cool.
You always have.
I like it.
We just didn't want to tell you because your ego's already out of control.
Well, that is true. That is true. Although last week was a good ego check for me.
Humility character builder.
Yeah, I was a mess last week. We had a great guest on last week. Everybody, you should go listen to that if you get a chance at techtalk.wrlr.fm or go to facebook.com/techtalkwrlr and you listen to that. Nick Bilton was on from the New York Times and he was fantastic.
I,
on the other hand, was all jacked up on cough medicine.
I love the New York Times. Oh, cough medicine. You were chlorotrimetriptan, huh?
I was doing good. Yeah. I thought it was good till I listened to it late. Actually, fortunately Nick was there and did a great job. And also Scott Androshko from Round Lake Area Schools was here too. He did a great job as well. He chimed in a few times and hopefully we'll have him on a few more times in the near future. Next week I'm going to prep people for next week already. I'm not even going to talk about today yet. Next week we're going to have on Megan Berry. I don't know if you've heard about this thing on the internet. Webs called Clout. Have you heard about Clout?
No.
Clout is a kind of a social metric. Now, Jay's a big Clout person. Maybe we can hit him up here in a minute and ask him what he thinks about it. But Clout is a way of kind of measuring your personal impact.
Oh yeah, you've talked about this before.
Internet. Yeah, I'm almost up to 50 Clout points now. I'm big stuff.
I don't get it. I do. I think it's cool. I think it's cool that you've got 50 Clout points. I don't want any Clout points.
Yeah, dissenters to Clout say that it's basically a way for social media mavens to pat themselves on the back and inflate their own egos, and there may be something to that. Others say it's one of the most important things on the internet today. So I fall somewhere in between. I think it's possibly a useful gauge of how interactive and how interconnected you are on the web and how much you're, you know, shouldn't be seen as a status thing, but perhaps more of a how successful you've been generating content that others find useful, because they don't tell you what algorithms they use, but the idea is that if you are generating content that's being distributed by more people or is being read and liked and shared by more people, then your Clout points will go higher. So,
well, I've just been, you know, I've just recently gotten turned on to Malcolm Gladwell. And you've spoken about him many times. You know, it took me years. And I'm reading the one of his with the match on the cover. Is that Tipping Point or Blink? I can't remember which one. I think that's Blink.
I think that's Blink with the match on the cover. Yeah, I read all it all on Kindle, I don't see the covers.
and he talks about mavens and how important they are in affecting the world and changing the world. So in the past I might have poo-pooed the whole Clout sensibility, why people would seek Maven status, but I'm a bit of a Maven myself about certain things, about cars and that sort of thing. So I can, even though I'm not into it myself, I can understand and appreciate. And social networking is a great resource for people that are Mavens of whatever, if that Mavens of music or live theater or electronics, computers. So I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and this is something that has occurred to me frequently, is that I think that as much as we want to say we admire and respect those among us who are, rational and level and moderate, and, you know, moderation is a wonderful thing and all this, really what seems to drive our society in different directions is not the moderate among us. It's really the extremes among us. And, you know, it's why we have this two-party system. It's why we have the legislative and judicial branches. It's why things kind of work the way that they do, is that you do have people that take extreme stances that become mavens and things that really get worked up about specific aspects of stuff, and yeah, they get balanced up by people that are worked up in just exactly the opposite way. But somehow, some way, these things all tend to drive us in good directions.
Well, that's what makes a debate.
That's it.
Competing ideas clash, and hopefully the best idea prevails.
And it happens in technology, too. You get people to get really excited about Twitter, and all of a sudden it's not just about a couple of people who get really excited about stuff. It's a big deal all in of itself. And who knows? Maybe that'll happen with clout. We're going to talk to Megan Barry next week about clout, and so I'm excited for that. This week we're going to have on Jay Garman, and he's going to talk to us about all the great stuff and cool stuff that he talks to us about. There's been a ton of stuff happening in the news this week, specifically around tablets. I don't know if you've seen this. The tablets just keep coming up and coming back up and coming back up. One big news just today was that HP says now finally they're completely out. They have released no news. They've said that's it. We're done. We've got no more playbooks. You know, the HP $99
touchpads, whatever. Yeah. Touch books or
yeah, it's Motorola's
all gone.
Yeah,
WebOS all gone now. Bye.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah, it's all done. You know, and unfortunately, too, now I'm starting to say, gosh, I, $99, that was great. I wish I'd picked one up.
Everybody did. It was a fire sale. It was a frenzy. Everybody's like, when they came out, when they were first reviewed, and everybody's like, who cares about that?
Yeah.
$99, oh, yeah,
yep.
Give me 10.
Now, here's the thing, though, is that there are actually a few of these touchpads left at Best Buy. They've got some of the 32 gig ones,
but they're left. not at that low price point.
Pretty darn close.
Really?
Half again that much.
Yeah.
They're giving them to customers that buy an HP computer at the same time, because HP has also recently said that they're not going to get out of the computer business, which they had for a while. Now that's
HP's been going a little goofy. You know?
Oh, HP, yeah, it's been kind of crazy. And you've got this happening. This is going to start on November 1st. So if you're excited about it, you know, you need to run into that. But at the same time, now RIM has been trying to recoup some of their loss status.
They're trying to get rid of some of their back inventory.
Is it that, or you know, now RIM's got the playbook, and
right.
The reports that I read was that only about 100,000 of those had shipped out of this burgeoning multi-million unit market.
That's out there. You're not saying that they have that many in stock?
No. That's all that they've shipped. That's all they've only been able to convince about 100,000 people to buy one of their units.
Their latest deal is buy two, get one free.
Yes. Yeah. which is, I mean, if you're going to buy one, it's a great idea. It's only going to be valid until December 31st, and you'll also get a free accessory with each tablet. So it's kind of a good deal, you know, if you're going to do it anyways. What I find interesting
is the reasons they think they're doing that is because there could be a new generation out early next year of the playbook.
Yes.
And it runs on QNX, which is a Linux derivative, which should mean that you could upgrade the operating system down the road, but not necessarily.
Yeah.
You know, they could lock you out pretty well.
They're coming out this early next year with, and it's so poorly named. They're calling it the Playbook OS 2.
And it's, oh no!
If anyone out there is old enough to have struggled through,
I don't want to slam Canadians or anything, but
what are they thinking?
That sounds like a Canadian idea. Yeah. Let's call it the OS 2.
Yeah. Now they removed the slash, so it's not OS slash 2 like IBM's malformed.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember struggling with that.
Yeah, I actually saw it in use here and there. Not very much, but here and there.
I unfortunately had the misfortune of having to use IBM's OS 2 as a developer for several years.
Oh, my.
One of the really good things about OS 2 was it was one of the very first operating systems that allowed true multi-threading in the applications, which was fantastic. It was limited use fantastic, but it was fantastic for those of us that were doing telephony development. I was an IVR developer, interactive voice response, you know, the thing where you call and press 2 for this, press 2. So for that, you needed to have multi-thread.
You're the guy I've been looking for.
Yes. Yeah, we worked on Walgreens. We worked on...
Folks, okay, it's Halloween. It's a good weekend for a lynch mob.
Oh, man. No, actually,
what's our address? Pontiac Court, 6123 Pontiac Court, something like that.
Yeah,
we don't want to give them the wrong address.
We're the brick building with all the cop cars out in front of it.
No. We're the red building. Bring your pitchfork, some rope, and some torches.
Man.
Let's get them.
If they burn this place down, will they build us a new one? Because this could use a few updates.
Oh, no. We're further along than we've been. Yeah. You know.
But the building's been in worse shape. I take pride in saying that the IVRs that we developed were a cut above what you commonly come across. And in fact, I still to this day feel that a well-designed, well-implemented IVR is more useful to a lot of people than having a live person answering the phone. If you really do it right.
I'm a little bit older than you are. And when I was like 5, my parents got for me an electric train, a Marx electric train. And with voice command on it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, guess what? It didn't work. Guess what? It hasn't gotten much better in all this time.
Well, when you were 5 and they had voice, I didn't realize that stuff. I mean, not to say anything about your age.
My grandparents, it's over 50 years. Let's just say that. And my grandparents had a farm up in Wisconsin, and so that's where we were. For Christmas. And basically, we spent the entire Christmas week up there with my male relatives, my older male relatives, screaming into this microphone, trying to get this thing to work. And it's amazing how little it's improved.
Voice recognition is a whole other topic. Yeah, now, I mean, one of the projects that we had was, and I thought
that's what you were talking about, voice. IVR?
No, IVR, interactive voice response. That's you push the buttons kind of thing, and it's a well-designed system to say, you know, if you want to get through to IT, press 1. If you need a pharmacist, press 2, this kind of thing.
I see.
Now, voice recognition is a whole other kettle of fish.
Excuse me. I misunderstood.
Now, I was in charge of a development team that was doing a voice recognition in Brazilian Portuguese, and we actually had to implement something here. We developed it here, then we flew down to São Paulo and put it in place there for this company that doesn't exist anymore. No thanks to us, TSR Wireless. And I know typically I wouldn't throw around a whole bunch of names here, but like I said, they're gone. So, and it was a really cool.
As far as you know,
it was a really cool thing. We developed this. I had to learn enough Brazilian Portuguese that I could program the voice reco. We were using a Nuance system, and it really, it taught me a number of things about voice recognition, which number one, just it's not that good, or at least it wasn't at the time. But number two is that your sample set makes an enormous difference in the quality of your voice recognition. We came down there and it worked great with myself and with my partner, Ricardo, who had been born in São Paulo, but had moved to America when he was in his, I think, early preteens kind of thing. Worked fantastic. We could go through this thing. It recognized every number we spoke and all this. We were speaking very clear American-accented Paulista, which is the San Paulo. What they speak is this Paulista
Portuguese
accent.
Yeah, yeah.
You got somebody from Rio. You got somebody from the hills, and they're kind of lisping a little bit. It sounded more like a Portuguese from Portugal, and the thing was horrible. It didn't work at all. And the look on the people's faces, and there was nothing we could do. I mean, that was just the state of things at that time. But anyways, we digress.
We did. Hey, you and I had a discussion a while back about and I owe you an apology for it, actually.
Part of the
discussion was about when Steve Jobs was ill.
Yes.
And the discussion we had, the disagreement we had, I don't really think it was a disagreement. I think we took opposite sides of the question. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much we really disagreed. But you thought, the position you took was that Steve Jobs should have disclosed fully what the issues with his illness were, mm-hmm. because there were investors in his company and they needed to know.
Yes.
And my position was leave him alone. he deserves his privacy, that sort of thing. And I used the term that you took personally. I wasn't directed personally at, actually. I said blood sucking vultures. That was kind of my viewpoint of people that wanted to know his
yes.
condition. And I was actually shocked when you kind of took it personally. But I'm sorry.
I don't recall taking it personally. I've been called worse,
but,
certainly.
But recently, just this past week in the Chicago Tribune, there was a guest editorial by a doctor, Dr. Corey Franklin, and he talks about this issue. And he feels much the same way as the position you represented, that indeed, I wouldn't want this guy for my doctor, by the way. But he thinks that indeed that it should be disclosed.
Mm-hmm.
He finds concert in with Warren Buffett. Warren Buffett, one of the richest men in the world, has said that if he had any issues, he'd disclose them fully to his stockholders because he works for them.
Yes.
And I think that probably represents that point of view more than, very well, more than almost anything you could say.
Uh-huh.
However, the Securities and Exchange Commission came down on the side of privacy in this. They believe that the CEOs deserve privacy, mm-hmm. as much as anybody else in this case.
Yeah, I think it is a gray area. I mean, it's really tough to make that cut and that decision. It's when you have someone who is in charge of and has so much responsibility, not only to,
and it's such an inspiration to the company.
I think that makes a bit of a difference. I think there's a lot of companies out there where the CEO is certainly instrumental but not essential, and that's different with Apple had a CEO who was not only instrumental but was innovative and who was essential to the certainly to the perception of the company, to the customer's perception of the company, to the stakeholder's perception of the company. So leaving that key bit of information out of stakeholders' minds, it makes a difference.
They need that information to assess whether to remain invested in the company or not.
Yes, yeah, the health of the company was directly related to the health of an individual. And in that case, I think that it's important that information is available.
But don't you think that's an awfully tough thing to do? Let's take the personal aspect of it out of it for a bit. But just to ask a CEO to disclose information that will devalue the company.
Yeah.
That will cause the company to lose value. Don't you think that'd be a very difficult decision to make. And it's a lot to ask for somebody to do that.
I certainly do. I certainly do. And this, you know, this is one of those cases where you would hope that the CEO would do the right thing, you know, would look at and assess the situation and look at the people that are depending on them and say, hey, this is something that goes above and beyond me. I'm not the bottom value person here. You know, I'm not my privacy.
Everybody would have bought that with Steve Jobs, yeah, right?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, my privacy is not of the ultimate value here. What's of the ultimate value?
Yeah. Is the company and the people.
Yeah.
But the other thing, okay, let's, when did Steve Jobs go back to Apple? Like 94 or something like that?
He came back in 94, 95. Yeah. And immediately the company did a 180 and started really reaching.
Yeah.
You know, that's
like an unbelievable understatement.
Yeah, he cut out something like 80% of their product line and said, look, we're going to focus on these things. The iPod came shortly thereafter, and it continued. I mean, you know, the story's known very well,
but he was diagnosed in like 99 or something.
Yeah. And there were rumors at that point, and he fought it.
Yeah. I think they issued immune system disorder.
Yeah. There wasn't a lot of clarity about what was happening.
Well, he was in a denial himself, though. It was nine months before he got surgery after the diagnosis.
Yeah. And in fact, now his new biography is just out. It's finally been released. I was giving Nick Bilton a hard time last week because he had a copy of it, and he gave me some tricks and secrets for how to get review copies of books ahead of time. So I'm not going to share those on air. I'm going to use those.
We'll talk about it later.
Those go into the evil
category. I have a copy for me. It's waiting for me in Toronto.
Okay. Yeah. So he had a copy, and he was telling me that Steve regretted the fact that he put off the surgery as long as he did,
right,
and that in fact he was investigating alternative treatments.
Well, it wasn't just investigating; he was doing them. He was doing all this stuff. But my point is that what if he had disclosed the 99? Would this tremendous success that we an amazing think about that turnaround? It's, you know, like 17 years to turn the company around from beyond bankruptcy to what it is now, one of the top brands in the world. And would that have, if people had known the state of his health back then, would he have had the financial backing in order to accomplish all the things that he did?
It's a good question. I don't know if he would have, but I don't know that is necessarily at that point his
So why take that risk? Why take the risk? Well, it's not his decision to make.
I think there's a point of business ethics where you say, is my desire for privacy, does that outweigh my stakeholders'
It's more than that. I mean, I'm sorry to step on what you said. Go ahead.
No. That's all I was going to say. It's back to Spock's the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the one.
Yeah, but that's what Jobs or any CEO. CEO's investment is preserving or growing and making thrive the entire company. If disclosing that information does the opposite.
It's kind of like, you know,
it's bad for the company, it's bad for the many, it's bad for the company, and it's not necessarily bad for the investors. Yeah. It certainly didn't turn out to be the case in Jobs.
But again, you know, it's a single individual making a decision that impacts a huge amount of people. It's the same kind of idea. Like say that you, and I like the way that it was put in the article about, you know, I work for these people.
Exactly.
Warren Buffett said,
exactly.
You know,
yeah.
Say that you.
Well, Warren Buffett also will not give his kids a penny, by the way.
No, I know. He's a little bit out there.
He's a little cold-hearted in some ways.
Yeah. I think it's similar to saying, you know, is to say you took 2 weeks of vacation because you had had a heart attack, And you told your boss when you came back that, oh, you know, I you wouldn't have a tan, so you couldn't say I went to the Caribbean. You know, went to
I stayed inside.
I took a staycation for the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And I'm doing just fine. Happy to be back at work. You know, you don't say anything that you've had this myocardial infarction that you're on close to possibly not being able to support their injury. And if you're a regular, one of a number of workers doing the same role, okay, one way or the other. If you're the key person in the organization who can support a specific, a position or that can do a specific task, it behooves you ethically, I think, to, if not to make that situation clear to your employer, to at the very least make sure that you are no longer the only, that key person that you can have some sense of knowledge that there's going to be continuity when you leave, whether it's leaving because you are leaving through choice or whether you're leaving through health concerns or whether you're leaving for whatever reason.
I don't disagree with that at all. I think it's a good analogy, but I don't think it specifically applies to this case. I think Steve Jobs did his stockholders and investors an incredible service by not disclosing, because if he had, they might have pulled out and missed out on all those earnings.
Yeah. But that took place over that period of time.
But
the alternative would have been he didn't disclose and the treatments were not successful and no one but by the time that they were truly not successful, there was some knowledge of what was happening. But say he had passed away in 2001, 2002, right after a huge amount of investors had put a lot of money into the company, and he had not disclosed that he had what had been going on, and imagine the rage and frustration.
But investment comes with risk.
So
you can't know every little thing. Hey, what about Jay?
What time is it?
How did that happen?
Usually it's me that's doing that, and I think this time I can make the case that I got to get a watch so I can sit here and start tapping it.
I'm going to stop bringing mine. I'm a time nag. But then again, we'll be going till noon. Jay!
Hello. Good morning, Jay. Hey, this time it's not my fault. Dave went completely off the rails here talking about how...
believe him, Jay.
How people shouldn't have been bugging Steve about his health in those final months.
Blood-sucking vultures! That's a good Halloween phrase.
It gave me a great opportunity to quote Spock, though, with the needs of the many. And, I can never pass up an opportunity.
You're
going to
use
like
Spock
that.
Against Jobs. Real cool.
Absolutely. they look a bit alike, I think. I think Steve could have done a very good Spock for Halloween 1 year.
Anyway, Jay, good morning.
Hi, fellas. How's it going?
You can see where this show has gone off the rails here very easily this week. So Jay, speaking of Halloween, you're the closest person that gets into cosplay that I know. Do you have some good? I wanted to ask if you've got some good things that you're going to do yourself personally for Halloween this year, or do you have any tips for people that are thinking about it?
I am not actually planning on dressing up this year. I am the parent that stays behind and hands out the candy.
Not even the red shirt? You're not going to put the red shirt on?
Oh, I will totally do that.
Oh, okay, all right.
I have nerdy t-shirts all over the place, man. That's a given. That doesn't really qualify as cosplay, though. I mean, that's just putting on a nerdy t-shirt. True cosplayers will laugh you out of the room for crap like that. So that's my first tip, is don't call yourself a cosplayer if you're not actually one. If you didn't have to sew anything for your costume, you're not a cosplayer. That's rule one. As a corollary to that, when you are cosplaying, the rule number one is be honest about your measurements. Don't pretend that you are thinner than you actually are. Don't pretend that you're taller than you actually are. Yeah. And the reverse is true. I can't tell you how many, like, 6'6" guys I've seen cosplaying Wolverine, that's not how that works. Okay? He's a short Canadian dude. He's not. You gotta pick a different costume, man. That is not okay.
Yeah. He's in great shape, but yeah, he's like what, about 5'8" or something like that. He's
less than that. I mean, depending on who you ask, but the sort of the definitive artistic authority on John Byrne on Wolverine is John Byrne. And he drew him at like 5'4".
Wow.
I mean, he's a really short dude.
Wow.
Now he's about 5'4" across.
Yeah.
You know, he's built like a fullback, but he's not tall.
Yeah. No, he's not built like in the movies.
Hugh Jackman.
Yeah, Hugh Jackman. Thank you. I don't know why I spaced that. Yeah, no, he was quite slender and fit, but not the brick house that the Wolverine in the comics is.
No, and well, as Byrne has been quoted as saying, Wolverine, when you look at him, you should think of a Wolverine, short, stocky, all muscles and claws and anger.
Yes.
So, you know, Hugh Jackman is a very, you know, capable and compelling, you know, Broadway musical star.
Oh!
I give him credit for pulling off Wolverine as well as he did, but for comics purists, that's not going to play.
Yes. Yeah. No, it's true. I actually
can't believe a geek called somebody a Broadway musical star.
he is, though. That's
the way he put it. Jay put it very, very nicely, very well. Very,
yeah, and I've
very
watched,
expressively.
I've watched the Wolverine Origins movie, I guess twice now, maybe 2.5 times. And the more I watch it, the more it irritates me. I don't even want to start. So anyway, back to Halloween costumes. Now I think I might be wrong, but I think it was it Scalzi who or maybe it was Charlie Strauss in his blog that came recently out with a kind of a pan to say, you know, no more sexy Leia. That costume's gone and dead, and we really should have stopped convincing people to wear it a while ago. Did you pick up on that blog post? Can you recall?
That was Scalzi's latest film critic column, and while I wasn't wild about all his choices, his "Are we done with slave Leia yet?" thing I'm totally down with. And what's funny is if you go to Dragon Con, which I did, which is Cosplay Central, there weren't a lot of those, because in the cosplay community, they're all like, yeah, it's been done. There's no cachet to it anymore. If you go to a Star Wars convention, you will probably see a lot of them because it's specific. Or you go to Comic-Con, it's sort of got its own thing going there. Like, there is literally a meetup at Comic-Con every year of just slave Leias. And they'll all go find the giant mock-up of Jabba and pose with him.
Oh.
So there's sort of a sorority of that going on out there. But that's just sort of its own thing. Like, cosplayers are like, that and Klingons, we've done it. Let's move on.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like Jabba's a good way to meet chicks, being Jabba.
Be Jabba. There you go. Well, you meet a certain type of... I think that the slave Leia example, too, also really presses home the point you made in your first tip, which is be honest about your measurements. Nobody really wants to see someone who's not, you know, hey, you're beautiful on the inside, but slave Leia, you know, and Carrie Fisher at that time was quite, I believe she had some eating disorder issues, anorexia, bulimia kind of stuff going on. She was far too thin, but that doesn't mean that the opposite extreme is okay to squeeze into one of those gold Am I being less than discreet for you, Dave? Dave's got this very pained look on his face.
I don't know. You know, bulimia is not my favorite thing to talk about before noon. You know,
yeah.
That's more of an afternoon tea subject for you.
Yeah,
today.
Exactly.
With my scones.
Yeah.
I want to be put off of that. Oh.
So you heavy women. This is the area you want to get into. Heavy women should not dress up as Princess Leia.
No, that is exactly what I wanted to say. Yes, thank you for making it clear.
And Mike's email address is Tech Talk.
It's not that heavy women can't be beautiful. It's not that that heavy women can't be sexy. It's just that heavy women can't be Princess Leia.
Yeah, they could be Jabba.
A sexy Jabba.
And Dave's email address.
Exactly. Thank you very much.
God, no, I don't know. Oh man. I'm not feeling good. I gotta go.
Well, my son, he's 8 years old, and he's 9 years old. He chose to dress as Green Man this year. Which I thought was hilarious in a somewhat ironic way, just because, of course, he has no idea, why Green Man is so popular, which is because of a show that there is no way in hell that I'm ever going to let him watch, which is It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
hilarious show, but no one... under the age of 17 should be anywhere near that show.
I would say 25.
I haven't really seen it. 25? Wow.
Yeah, and even then, this is, Danny DeVito and Charlie Day.
I caught just a snippet of that. It's very odd. It's very odd. Yeah, they do weird stuff to each other. They take things literally and...
Yes.
I'll put it this way. It is the only show with 100% unlikable characters I've been able to watch.
This is true.
Like every single character is a reprehensible scumbag, and it's still compelling.
So it's sort of like, what's that thing where they do the stunts?
Jackass?
Jackass. So it's sort of like Jackass with better character definition.
Yeah, it's not a real, it's not a reality type thing like Jackass is. Yeah. It's definitely scripted and performed and all this.
And you guys watch this.
It's absolutely hilarious, but Jay is totally correct. There's not a single likable character in it. If ever one does show up, he winds up being humiliated in some way and then never seen again.
Ah.
So.
but the great part about the show is they're all reprehensible characters, and because they're reprehensible characters, they always fail. It's not like they get away with anything. The end of every episode is them dealing with the consequences of having tried some horrific scam and it totally not working.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah, it's very much, you've got this cast of anti-heroes. It reminds me a lot of Warhol's movies that he came out with, and he had a number of movies that were rips on suburban life, and then there was the remakes of some of the monster films and so on. But all of them had the same exact thing, this host of anti-heroes that were none of them likable, that were all performing reprehensible acts, either against themselves or others. But this is much funnier. I'm much more watchable than Warhol's stuff, so I would stick with that. Do you have your kids though? You have a child anyways? Are you going to dress them up as anything? Dress her up.
She is going as a fairy princess because she's four. So, that is her world right now. We couldn't find a decent Kailan costume, so she's going as a fairy princess.
Old enough to choose, which means princess. Yes.
That's cute.
It's kind of sad when they finally get to that point where you can't dress them up as what you want to dress them up as for Halloween anymore. They make the choice. And, we have two boys and a girl. And so now we've got two monsters and a fairy princess. So which is good for me, because I can stop upholding the princess side of things. The tights were getting a little tight anyways. So.
Oh, that image is gonna linger.
Hey, it's better than me in the Green Man costume. I can tell you that much.
We're getting tight on time.
Oh yeah, you know what? we are. Dave's right now. All of a sudden, Dave is all about the time.
Yeah,
now he wants to know.
Why don't you guys start getting into tights too much?
All of a sudden he wants to get us on. I do love Halloween, though. Halloween is a lot of fun. So I guess we should at least look to answer last week's question. And I'm pulling it, you know where I'm going to pull it up right now? I'm going to make this mention again, is there is a new Facebook Tech Talk fan page. You can go to facebook.com/TechTalkWRLR, all one word, no spaces or anything. And I've been pretty darn good about getting the Geek Trivia Question of the Week up every week, even if the podcast hasn't been released yet. So you'll be able to actually respond and answer during the week. And right now, the question that I've got on there, it's about four down on the wall, is from Jay, and here's his new nickname, Jay Encyclogarmonica. Garmin. Who was the original owner of the gmail.com domain?
Oh, I can't wait to hear this.
Google bought it back in 2004, which that was the piece of trivia that actually shocked me the most, was that Gmail's only been around since 2004. So, and what is?
Yeah, it feels like forever, doesn't it?
Oh, seriously. It's astonishing to me. 7 years, it's eight almost, and it's just crazy. But so who was the G in the Gmail?
Garfield. The comic strip Garfield.com started their own webmail service for their fans at gmail.com. And Google bought it out from under them. They gave them what I assume was a moderate truckload of cash because they're Google, and convinced them they could change that to egarfield.com, which they did, and bought Gmail. And I don't know how successful this service was because I can't even find a screenshot of it. I just know it existed. There's records that it existed. I don't know who used it because clearly they weren't, you know, terribly worried about it competing with their brand when they bought gmail.com. And eGarfield has since been discontinued to no one's surprise.
Oh, you know, and where was the, I don't know. I mean, there's so many questions. I don't even know where you're saying.
You've been around like I have. You remember in the early 2000s when after Hotmail came out, which actually probably came out in about 97, 98, if I'm right, there was this sudden like rash of everyone putting out free webmail services because it was a great way to sell ads.
Mm.
And they all stunk. I mean, Hotmail was the least bad of them. And we all thought it was great at the time until Gmail came out. Like, whoa, a gigabyte, and it works? Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone was just sort of, like, there were proliferation. And I remember there was a group probably in early 2000 that, like, every major Division I football college team, you could get an email address that team sucks. It's like, you know, I'm Jay Garmin at UCLASucks.com.
Like, yep.
Like, really? There's a whole industry. Like, it cost you $1 to do that. Like, but you can get it. You can do it.
Yeah. Well, and that is the thing, too, is that, of course, it's so cheap to set up, you know, an email service that it was an easy entree for a lot of people to, sell something silly or put ads in there and all this. You know, really all it takes is a server and a hosted domain name, and away you go. There's enough free services out there even that you don't even have to pay to set that server up. So, but yeah. why wouldn't they choose, you know, at Garfield Mail or something? I mean, if you're that proud of it, you should have done it. But Gmail, well, you know, there it was. And of course, Customer Jones did come through with the correct answer on that. I tried really hard. I wanted to be surprised, but she included very large GIF images of Garfield in her email response. So I wasn't able to avoid seeing
only
it.
Only Suzanne.
At the time.
You needed that. You need that GIF image.
It definitely
extra credit
made the point. Yeah, extra credit. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So what should we be would be thinking about, or at least Suzanne should be thinking about for next week?
Well, this being Halloween weekend, I couldn't resist something vaguely Halloween related. So we all know that pilots, particularly astronauts, are somewhat superstitious. They all have their own little rituals, which is probably why there's only been one manned space flight in history ever launched on Halloween. So what was it?
Huh.
Good question.
And it was a manned one, though, too.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Wow, very cool.
Interesting. Yeah. Yeah. Boy, you combine that with the Friday the 13th ship launches, and I think we've got some good stuff going there. Now, that's a great question. It's a manned space flight. So I don't have the slightest idea. I have no clue on this one.
I guess we'll have to find out next week.
That's right.
That's tuned
That's
in.
Right. Or people, as I said, people can go to facebook.com/techtalkwrlr and throw their guesses on there, or their answers, their researched answers with large bouncing GIFs of the of the space launch itself, preferably. Extra credit for that.
Maybe George Buckhart, our office manager, might know that one. He's a big space buff.
That's true. Yeah. We have some fantastic shots on the wall of him at the final Discovery launch.
Yes.
So very cool stuff. Dave's looking at the clock again. Jay, I got to play some spots and sponsors and all that good stuff. So I'm gonna say goodbye to you and wishing you and your family a very spooky but very safe and candy rich Halloween this weekend.
Back at you, sir.
Appreciate that. And we'll be talking to you next week.
All right, have a good one, fellas.
Thank you, Jay.
You too. Thanks, Jay.
Nice job. What a guy.
Always great talking to Jay.
Love him.
Absolutely. Yeah. And as I said, I actually am really going to bring up some spots and
that'd be nice.
All sorts of good stuff. I got to queue them up.
At 14 minutes of the hour.
I don't even have them lined up yet. I'm all over the place here.
Is there anybody listening shocked by that?
I just am so happy that this time I can say it was it wasn't me that had...
Oh, yeah. You could say that. Nobody's going to believe it.
All right. I'm just going to play a couple of quick ones here. We'll get this through. We'll be right back at you in just a couple of minutes. You're listening to Tech Talk. Don't forget, we got Cool Sites of the Week coming up and a podcast-only song of the week.
Oh,
so
boy.
Stay tuned, and we'll talk to you in about a minute and a half.
See you on the other side.
You're listening to 98.3 FM, WRLR LP, Round Lake Heights, Illinois.
The Grays Lake Park District is a proud sponsor of WRLR. The Grays Lake Park District is committed to enhancing the quality of life in the Grays Lake community by providing year-round leisure services, preserving open space, and fostering community pride. The Grays Lake Park District is located at 240 Commerce Drive in Grays Lake, Illinois, and is open Monday through Friday. The phone number is 847-223-7529. The website is www.glpd.com.
The Round Lake Area Park District is a proud sponsor of WRLR. The mission of the Round Lake Area Park District is to promote healthy lifestyles through recreation programs, facilities, and open space. The Round Lake Area Park District is located in the Robert W. Rowlett Community Center at 814 Hart Road in Round Lake and is open Monday through Saturday. The phone number is 847-546-8558. The website is www.rlapd.org.
Join Rusty Silver and Pat Cameron every Saturday morning at the Sports Corner. They'll give you a comprehensive look at what's happening in sports. Professional, college, Lake County High School sports. If you need it, they've got it right here on the Sports Corner. Saturday mornings, 8 a.m., it's the Sports Corner right here on WRLR.
Oh, I was lost in my own little world there. Normally, I have a little bit of interstitial music coming up, but I kind of missed it today. That's all right. That's all right.
It's always a surprise to be on the air, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. It is.
It's a shock every Saturday.
I can't believe they let me. I keep expecting the keys to get changed. You know? The locks will be switched.
You expect. My fob actually was. I couldn't get in at one point.
And the curse.
Oh, boy.
Of course.
Nothing's better than the Cool Site of the Week.
Yeah.
Cool sights of the week. Sit back and relax.
I got three of them. We're going to give to you right now.
Cool.
And, you know, what I think we're going to do is keep it on the whole Halloween theme idea today, because we are just 2 days away from Halloween. So that's kind of fun stuff. Now, one thing that everyone loves to do at Halloween time is go get some pumpkins, right?
But, yeah, sure.
But it can be tough. Now, there's a lot of good places around here to get pumpkins. Didier Farms and all that, or the Biggies and all that. But you may not realize there's a lot of little places to get pumpkins, too. These pumpkin
patches. I didn't know that.
Local pumpkin patches.
Really?
And you can find a lot of them at pumpkinpatchesandmore.org.
Wow, that's so cool.
I think it's pretty neat.
I had no idea you could do that.
You can. They've got them all lined up for you. You can do a little search on your area. You look by your state first and then kind of drill down. Now, of course, Google, you can always type in pumpkin near, you know, 60061 or whatever your zip code is, and yeah, all that good stuff. And that'll help, too. But this has got them all in one spot, pumpkinpatchesandmore.org. So that's kind of a cool place to find that. Now, I got another,
sounds great,
another thing, too.
Your hunt for the great pumpkin, there's some help.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. There's another good site for Halloween stuff. Maybe you just want to print out some kind of fun Halloween-y greeting cards or mazes or maybe coloring pages, stuff like that for the kids. Maybe you're going to have a Halloween-themed party. I love this place called freeprintable.net. It's got tons and tons and tons of free printable stuff. Halloween banners, Halloween coloring cards, but it's not just Halloween stuff, although I'm focusing on Halloween right now, of course, because this is the time of year for it. But you can go in there and find free printable business letters, business cards, things to draw for kids. Like I said, mazes, word searches, and word finds.
Wow.
Calendars. Just an amazing bunch of stuff. He
no
makes,
pun intended.
Makes, yeah, exactly. He makes his money, I guess, maybe from the ads on the side. I don't know. Whatever, however it works.
What's the URL? What's the
freeprintable.net. Just go to freeprintable.net.
Yeah,
you go to
great.
freeprintablecoloringpages.net and all that. You can find that. But freeprintable.net, I'll put a shortcut to the Halloween
specific
stuff.
You know what we need? We need a mass emailing of cool sites of the week.
Oh, you know, that would be kind of a cool thing.
Yeah.
You know, though, you can always go to techtalk.wrlr.fm.
Yeah, this would be additional promotion, though. People would see that
show
and be reminded about the show.
That's
people
true.
That didn't listen necessarily.
That's true. I do have some emails from people. In fact, if you go to techtalk.wrlr.fm, you can find there is actually a place to sign in with your email address and sign up to receive any messages that we send out.
Yeah,
I used to send out newsletters with some regularity, and then I stopped doing it when we switched more to kind of the RSS thing. And
yeah,
you know, I don't know.
And also, we didn't care.
Yeah.
Apathy.
Exactly. Basically.
Apathy.
Basically.
Sorry, folks.
So I got one more cool site, Halloween related for you here. Now, if you're looking for some really neat, cool, amazing pumpkin ideas, and a lot of these are kind of screened pumpkins, you know, it's not the traditional pumpkin, you can go to fantasypumpkins.com, and they not only have pictures of all of the different kinds of really astonishingly cool pumpkin art that's out there, but they've also got free patterns, tutorials, and links. The new tutorial that they've got on there today right now is carving the Death Star. Making your pumpkin into a Death Star, like from the Star Wars movie. And
wow,
then you light that up from behind. And
that's going to take a few minutes.
Oh, yeah. It's a little, if you're trying to get it done by Monday, you may be too late. This does take some time. My personal favorite is there's a pumpkin that was carved to look like a Pinhead from the Hellraiser movies. And
oh, my.
It's really yeah, pretty phenomenal.
Yeah.
It's an amazing set of things you can look at. Fantasypumpkins.com. Really cool stuff there. And I'm going to leave that as being the end of the cool sites of the week. I think we'll just end the show on that. We're pretty nicely done.
We have to end it on something.
Well, I guess it has to end sometime, doesn't
it? Sometime.
Don't forget, next week we got Megan Berry from Clout is going to be on, and we thank you for listening to Tech Talk on WRLR. And I'm going to leave us with a speed metal version of Every Day is Halloween.
Every Day is Halloween is not edgy enough for you. You have to go to the speed metal version of it.
I got to get just right up to the next level up, you know? Nothing's ever... You listen to it a couple of times, and you're like, you know what? This is good, but I need more. Well, this is more. This is more Every Day is Halloween, and for some of us, it is. So, but hey, everybody, be safe out there. Enjoy your Halloween. Don't forget to take a quick look at your local... websites for your community to make sure what hours that the Halloween is
trick
actually
or treating,
supposed to
trick
be
or
done.
Treating is permitted.
The
yeah.
trick or treating is yeah. permitted. You don't yeah. want to get hauled in for breaking curfew, and that's no fun to the end of a Halloween night. And if you're having,
if you want to do a jail cell thing, you could do that here.
Yeah.
That's what we should do. Trick or treat. Yeah, come on in, get some candy, and go to the jail cell. We this is a former police station, the radio station is. So,
yep, so
that's why we have one of those.
We have a cage. It's great. It's great.
We have a cake.
Ooh, nice.
Well, a special safe travel wishes to Yoko, who's on her way to the Arctic to watch the polar bears migrate.
Are you kidding me?
No,
she's going to the Arctic.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Well, just at the very edge of, you know. She's
wow.
not going. She's not going to the pole.
Wow. Yeah. Though, but still, yeah. that's
Churchill,
man,
Manitoba.
She's my new hero. She's a world traveler.
She should. Yeah.
She has been all.
She
over
should
the
be.
Place.
You know. She should be your hero. Stop giving her such a hard time.
No, I have nothing but respect and. Yeah. friendship for Yoko as much
oh, yeah.
as I like to give her a hard time and call her Yoko.
Yeah. So hopefully we'll have some polar bear pictures. Maybe we can put that online or something.
That is neat. That is neat. Put them up on Facebook. I'll make sure they get shared around onto the the Tech Talk
yeah.
site too. Hey, well, everyone have a great, happy, safe Halloween, and we'll talk to you next week.
See you then.